من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. May Allah inshallah bless you and us inshallah for our presence in this majlis, and reward us for our presence inshallah, and make it zakhira for dunya wal akhirah. Recite another salawat and gift it to Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Congratulations, we're still in a great occasion of the wiladat of our great and dear Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his son Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. And our condolences, as you heard, on this sad occasion, the tragedy of the shahadat of one of the greatest ulama, Shaykh Nimr, inshaAllah. He will be with Rasulullah tonight, inshaAllah, next to him and Ahlul Bayt, with your loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Before I start, I thought that this is great that we all together in this occasion say a very short ziyarah and salam to Rasulullah all together, although we're not in Medina, we're far from there. But it's good that inshallah all together we get the thawab from that, and all together inshallah. I'll recite this just two sentences and you repeat quietly after me inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah. As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad ibn Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Khatam al-Nabiyyin. أشهد أنك قد بلغت الرسالة وأقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وعمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وعبدت الله مخلصا حتى أتاك اليقين فصلوات الله عليك ورحمته على أهل بيتك الطاهرين. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Our salam to the one who taught us how to say salam. Our salam to Rasul, that because of him we know how to say salam to each other. And we are so happy in this occasion and grateful to Allah for being here in the majlis for in the name of Rasulullah, and have this tawfiq to be here, alhamdulillah, because he does not only belong to Muslims, he belongs to the whole humanity. When you look, you see that all prophets, Adam, Ibrahim, Nuh, Isa and Musa, all of them are proud to be called Muslim. They wanted to be part of Islam. They all worked to bring and prepare everything for the last religion, the religion of Islam. They're all happy in this occasion. They're all happy, and not only them, Allah is happy on the birthday of His Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. To let you, inshallah, be a little bit more familiar with Rasulullah himself and understand, although it's almost impossible for someone like me to talk about him and understand him, but to be a little bit more familiar with him, because Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the one should introduce Rasulullah, right? Imagine Allah wanted to put all and collect all the attributes, the best of all attributes that are necessary for human beings, in one example, and show it to human beings and show it to people. Those attributes that Allah himself is the highest of all attributes. Imagine the greatness of Allah, the generosity, the forgiving. How forgiving is Allah? The kindness of Allah, huh? All these attributes, that he is the top level of those attributes. He wanted to collect all these attributes in someone and show it to the whole humanity. Who should be this person that be this example, and who can be the exhibition of the attributes of Allah on the earth, so who would prove, Allah would prove to the humanity that it is possible, although you cannot have these attributes to the level that Allah has, it is impossible, but to the level of human beings, as insan kamil, as the most complete human being. No one is eligible to be this representative except Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The origin of all purities. If you want to find all the attributes, the greatest attributes that all prophets, 124,000 prophets they have, and all the beauties that you can imagine that someone can have, you can look at Rasulullah and see all these attributes and beauties in him. the origin of purity of nafs and the beauty of soul you see in Rasulullah. That's why in Quran, Allah is talking to Rasulullah and says, very interesting, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There's indeed a great example in Rasulullah for you. When Allah introduces someone as a great example, as a role model, that's interesting because he looks and he sees and he is introducing that person from all aspects, not just one aspect. Imagine in this dunya, someone that is usually successful is either in business or a job or something. I might be a very good, you know, businessman, but I do not might probably be a good father or mother or, you know, person in some other aspects. But we see that when Allah says there is an usma, there is an example in Rasulullah, from all aspects He's introducing him. I want to talk in two parts, inshallah, tonight. The first part, as you see, I'm introducing Rasulullah a little bit more to you. And the second part, which is more important, our responsibility in these days, and nowadays, in this world, current time, towards Rasulullah. Again, last night I mentioned, the existence of Ahlul Bayt is not there for us just to praise them and to say, Alhamdulillah, we are Muslim or we are Shia. There is a reason that we have Rasulullah. There is a reason that we have Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, for us in action to follow them. So you see that in Quran Surah Baqarah ayah 129, Rasulullah. Ibrahim, the father of Tawheed, he's praying to Allah. Imagine Ibrahim, he's praying to Allah and he has a dua. What is this dua that Ibrahim has? He's saying, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ. Ya Allah, please arise a messenger among the midst of them, a messenger among them that would be reciting the ayat of you, the verses of you for the people, for this ummah, for humanity. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he will teach them about the book and wisdom, and he will purify their impurities. Ibrahim is praying and he's asking for Allah to send someone in this ummah, in the ummah of humanity, to purify them and to teach them about the ayat and the verses of Allah. Rasulullah himself, he said that, أَنَا دَعْوَةُ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ. I am the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. Why we say that? Because in Surah Jum'ah, we all recited in the last Jum'ah. We recite in the second ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكِهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He is the one who sent and arise, a messenger that although he didn't have any teacher, to be said that, oh, he was, you know, under someone's, you know, teaching. From there, what did this messenger did? He was the one who recited the ayat of Quran, the verses of Quran for people. He was the one taught them about the book and wisdom, and he was the one that purified their impurities. This is the dua of Ibrahim. We see that Rasulullah is the one that Allah sent him as the last messenger. Imagine, what is the most important job in this world, if I ask you? The most important job that you can imagine, out of all these thousand, billion, probably jobs that we have, careers, is probably the job, imagine a company, that if you want to see what is the highest job in this company, you look to see who has the best employees, what kind of responsibilities and job they have, huh? Then it says, okay, these are the highest, you know, the most important employees, they get the highest salaries, that this job should be the most critical job for this company. We see that Allah sent 124,000 people to prophets in one job, and that's the guidance of people. To guide people. That's what your resident alim, alhamdulillah, is here, that he is doing the same thing, guiding people and all ulama. That's why it's so sad to miss an alim because of this. Because it's towards the highest and the most important job, right? We don't have anyone better than Adam and Ibrahim and Nuh and Isa and Musa. We don't have anyone better than this. And Allah put them all in one job, guiding people. Which I can do it in my university, a job or something. If I see that someone needs this guidance, I can at least do something at my level. Not to say I don't care, it's not my business. No, it is my business actually, right? And we see that the last one, 124,000, the last one who finished the mission of all these prophets is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. it's not a joke. Someone, when the last one comes, should have all the attributes from all of them all at the same time. Let me ask you, what do you think is the highest title that you can see that Rasulullah has? He's Rasulullah, definitely. He's Habibullah, definitely. He's the friends of Allah. He is Rahmatan lil Alameen, definitely. But I want you to answer and find out the reason and the best title that Allah gave to Rasulullah. Look at this. In salat, in tashahud of your salat, what do you say? You repeat after me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna. You all memorize it, right? All together. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Why don't you say Rasuluhu wa abduh? Why do you first say Muhammad and abduhu wa rasuluh? That means if you want to be Rasul, you have to be abd first. You have to become a servant of Allah before you become a Rasul. How you become Rasul? Because he became the abd of Allah. He became the servant of Allah in Quran, right? We have this, and in Salat, 5 times a day we recite this in Salat every day. What do you mean 5 times a day? If I repeat something 5 times to myself a day, that means I want to tell myself something. I want to remind something to myself. Because Salat is what? Salat is all about teaching and learning. If I don't understand that becoming the abd of Allah is the most important thing for me, that if I want to claim I'm the follower of Rasulullah and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, I have to become abd. The more abd I am, the closer I am to Allah and to Ahlul Bayt. The title that he had, and that's my responsibility to get closer to him. If I want to talk about Rasulullah, we should sit here another nights and days and years to talk about the attributes of Rasulullah. But what is important here is I understand about myself and my responsibility about Rasulullah. I have to understand today what Rasulullah wanted me to do and what he's expecting me to do today. If I just claim I'm a follower, imagine if I claim that I'm the best employee of this company, but I'm not following the rules. What do they do? You can stay here, but you're not part of this company, right? If you want to be part of this company, you have to follow the rules and policies in action. If you be against the rules, can I say I follow all the rules in the university, I go to the class, but I'm not going to take the test, the final. I'm just going to take half of the rules and policies and I want to leave the other half. What do they say? You can be here, but I'm sorry, there's no degree, there's nothing. You have to fully follow the policies. Then why when it's come to Islam, we think we can take some and leave some and claim this, alhamdulillah, we're among the Muslims. That's the meaning of abd. That's the meaning of if I have to look at myself, see how close is my life to the life of Rasulullah, to the life of Ahlul Bayt. Do you think 23 years Rasulullah, he had been under a lot of suffering and difficulties and tortures for the sake of us just sitting here and the Ummah of Islam sitting here and have the jash and celebration for Rasulullah or the azan, the shahada for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and to go home? Mm-mm. Allah is not going to sacrifice the best of his people for the sake of praising. There is a reason, indeed. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is a reason, there is an example that you have to follow your example, right? And we have to follow that example. So what is our responsibility? I want to talk about some of our responsibilities tonight, inshallah. And it's very important to pay attention to this. First of all, in Surah Hujurat, what I'm saying, inshallah, you can see it. It's either from Quran or from the traditions, hadith, or very authentic books. I'm not used to saying something that we don't have in either these sources that I said. Look at this. In Surah Hujurat, first ayah, we can recite, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدَّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدِي اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O people, you should not, or who you believe that you are following Rasulullah as well. You should not proceed ahead of Allah and Rasulullah. Do not go ahead of Rasulullah. I'll do something that he didn't say something. Do not proceed ahead of him. Believe in something that he didn't say it or he didn't do it. Allah and Rasulullah. If it was necessary, he would definitely do it. He was definitely done that before. Or he would say that before that you have to do it or you have to do that. anything. Halal Muhammad halal ila yawm al-qiyamah. Wa haram haram ila yawm al-qiyamah. What it was halal at that time, to the end of the world, this is halal. And the haram is haram to the end of the world. If I am saying that, this is better, I think this is better that I do this, or I change some of the amal of Islam, or I believe in something else that Rasulullah didn't say, and I want to put it this way. That's definitely against the sunnah of Rasulullah. If it was necessary, Rasulullah himself, he would say that in salat I have to close my hands. But he didn't say that, he didn't do it. And I can't justify it to say after, you know, all these years, it's for the respect or for other intention I have to do it. You're doing something that he didn't do it. If it was for the sake of respect, he would do it before. I should not do it. The fact even here is that we have the Ahlul Bayt, Imams, after Rasulullah. We'll talk about this. That for 250 years, back to back, from the beginning, the Imamate of Amir al-Mu'min, Ali alayhi salam. All the way to the end of the Imamate of Imam Hassan Askari. We're not even counting the Imam of As, Imam Zaman, alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah. 250 years, not only two people, three people, thousand and thousand people saw how Ahlul Bayt they say their prayers, right? That's interesting, because in then some of the books that even Ahlul Sunnah brother they have, for example, in Sunan Ibn Majah, it's one of the seventh books that Ahlul Sunnah have, very respected book, in the Kitab Iqamat al-Salat wa Sunnah, Hadith 1061, he said, when Rasulullah, he prayed, he had his hands to his sides. It's not the source of Shia. And many other sources that we have, how Rasulullah says, the Tabi'in, the Ashab, the Companion, how they said their prayers. If I change these things, that will lead to other things. If I see today a group of ISIS are coming, savage, barbaric, bloodthirsty people are coming and doing exactly opposite of Rasulullah, he forgot Rasulullah, he didn't know how to do it, and you are doing it in this time, what they are doing is because of what? Because of the ideology. Where the ideology comes from? From a desert in the middle of the Saudi Arabia, they call it Wahhabism, Wahhabism. It's coming from there. The person that Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, his father and his brother were against him. They wrote a book against him. That this guy is crazy. This guy is extreme. Don't follow this guy. So you just came out of the desert, say something that Rasulullah, he didn't say it. And of course, you have to justify it somehow. And you have to add it with some political things in order to justify your evil intention. And we see that Islam is paying up until now because of what? Getting against the sunnah of Rasulullah. لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدِهِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. What did they do? Being against, being ahead of sunnah of Rasul, being against of Allah and Rasul. He didn't say do this, and they did it. And whatever the evil that we see today is because of this ideology. Where it's coming from. So, then our response, and this is our problem as well, because we always condemn these people, right? Condemn these people, ISIS, MISIS, Al-Qaeda, why they're bad, or against Islam, they're Muslim. My fault here, you know what is it as a Muslim? I forgot to introduce Islam, the true Islam, before these savage people come out. I forgot, I was shy, I didn't introduce the true Islam to people of the world. So they would say, this is the real Islam, because I was so shy to say, I eat halal. I was saying, I'm vegetarian. And I was shy to say, it's halal. Although UCLA proved that there is a lot of benefit in eating halal food compared to not halal food, there is a research in that. And I was justifying somehow not to say I'm Muslim, and I didn't introduce the true Islam to people of the world. If I was doing this before, when these people in groups coming out, people of the world says, get out of here. We already know what is the true Islam, because I couldn't say it. I couldn't introduce the real Islam. Now we have to do 2-3 times more job and more effort to what? To prove, hey, by the way, these are not the true Muslims. These are all against Islam, huh? This is difficult. This is more difficult to clean the minds of people rather than prove it. But still we can do it. Still we can say it. If I'm going to the university to the class, why am I shy to say I'm Muslim? And what is Muslim? This is Islam. This is what I believe. If I know how to say 2 times 2, equal? 5? No, it's 4, right? Because some people are like, what? 4? I'm not not shy to announce it, because I know that's a fact. If I am sure that I am Muslim and that's the best religion in the world, I should feel shy or ashamed or lack of confidence to say I'm Muslim, while I know that's the best religion and that's the best path, right? That's what we're missing. That's why that is the problem. Before condemning them, we have to look at ourselves as well. So even among, we said you shouldn't be, you know, ahead of Rasul. Even among those, it's interesting, because the Ahl Sunnah brothers, that they say you have to close your hands. Even to this example, I'm giving this example, because it's coming from somewhere. When you change the track that Rasulullah established to different and wrong path, that would happen. Look, we see that our Ahl Sunnah school of thought, Hanbali, Shafi'i, and Hanafi, these are the three sections that are school of thought that they said it is mustahab to close your hands. It's not wajib. Even if you don't do your salat, it's fine. The Maliki school of thought are saying what? Are saying that is makruh. It's not good. You shouldn't close your hands. And Shia are saying what? This is not permitted to do that. We see that this is not something to say is 100% wajib to do that. Even among the Ahl Sunnah, there is a school of thought that it says, you know what? This is makruh. You shouldn't do it. Even among those that are saying mustahab, many of them, they don't know what to do. Should I put my hands on my chest, below my belly button, or on top of... They don't know. There are a lot of traditions where to put it. If it's so much about Rasulullah, why too many traditions? If it's about so facts, why too many examples? So Rasulullah, he either put it here, or here, or here, right? Why I have to move it all the time? This is a book... Guy Ibn Qudamah, Abu Muhammad Abdullah bin Ahmed bin Muhammad, one of the scholars of Hanbali scholars, very respectful at that time, 7th century, he said, we have a lot of tradition from Ahmed Hanbal that some of them says you have to put your hands on chest, close it, some of them says below your belly button, all these things. You see that even among them, there are a lot of disagreements to be ahead of Rasulullah, many other things. And what is the justification? Let me tell you, it's even, you know, funnier than the Ahmed. The first justification is for respect. Because they saw a group of Majus, they came at that time in front of one of the Khulafa, and he was saying that they were putting their hands like this, he said it's respectful, so let's put it this way. And I'm asking you, your culture might have the respect sign to put your hands like this. What if my culture has the signs as putting your hands here? What if your culture has a sign to put on your head? And then what's going to happen to the salat? Everybody has the hands, you know, somewhere. No, there is one version, one sunnah that we got it from Ahlul Bayt, got from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to do it. The second justification, we put our hands on our chest because we want to protect our niyyah and heart. Really? First of all, you do the niyyah with this heart? Even if you want to do niyyah goes with your mind, right? And then how about, I want to ask this question to them, you know, how about when you go to jihad and fasting and paying the homes, you have the niyyah, where do you put your hands? Do you put your hands anywhere to keep the niyyah? لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not go ahead of Rasulullah, Allah and Rasulullah. Do whatever he says. If you don't do it, you will have wahhabism. Coming out, the biggest problem of the Ummah of Islam. And the whole world, actually. Let me just share a very, very interesting story with you to say, even in action, what would happen if you be against the sunnah or ahead of the sunnah of Allah and Rasulullah? With the law, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. After the war, Khaybar, that your master Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the one that he finished the war Khaybar by pulling out the door of Khaybar. لا بقوة جسدية ولكن بقوة Ilahiyya, Rahmaniyya. He pulled out the door of Khaybar, not because of his strength, his physical strength, that many people couldn't do it, 5-6 people they couldn't do it, because of the power of Allah that he gave it to him. He pulled, and he was the reason of the victory of Khaybar. After the Khaybar was over, Rasulullah is standing, and group of soldiers and companions around him. It's obvious after the war, they're all tired, they're all hungry, right? A lady, Jewish lady, comes towards Rasulullah called Zainab bintul Harith. Came to Rasulullah, he had a lamb shoulder, cooked lamb shoulder with herself. She brought it to Rasulullah, says, I want to be Muslim, Mubarak, Mubarak, I want to be Muslim. Mabruk, because of your victory, I want to become Muslim. And I brought this lamb shoulder cook because one of the traditions says, you know, Rasulullah, he loved the lamb shoulder. I don't know if there is a medical reasons behind this. But so she brought it, and imagine this, the moments that Rasulullah is standing, she brought it and the soldiers around him. Before Rasulullah do anything or say anything, there is one of the soldiers, one of the companions, Bishr ibn Burra. So he was next to Rasulullah. Before Rasulullah, he took a piece of this meat and he started eating it. Amir al-Mu'min is standing and says, Bishr, you shouldn't do that. La tuqaddim Rasulullah, you shouldn't do it. Bishr took another piece and started eating and says, he's not stingy. Look at Amir, Rasulullah says, it's not stingy, don't worry about this. He took the second bite. As soon as he got it, he fell dizzy and fell down. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. You know the rest, right? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Ahsant. What happened? That was a poison meat. La tuqaddimu bayna yadi Allahi wa Rasul. Even to that example, you shouldn't be ahead of Rasulullah. He didn't do it. You have to wait for him to see what he is doing. He is a representative of Allah. Then you can do whatever you're supposed to do. They took his body to they wanted to bury him. He's still a great, you know, companion, you know. He just made a mistake. Before they bury him, Rasulullah says, go call Ali to come. He argued with Ali. Look, another example. He argued with him. He disrespected Ali. Tell him to come. He has to be satisfied with him. Wow. Amir al-Mu'min came. He went to the grave. He says, Besh, I told you don't do that. That's the result of your being disrespectful to Rasulullah. I'm satisfied with you, but you know you got the result. Why the Sunnah says you have to have Ali come here and be satisfied? All accident. Okay, all accident. The Sunnah in Quran says, لا ينطق عن ال. He does not talk based on his own desires and hawa. Do you think he would act something based on his desires? إن هو إلا وحي. Whatever he does, whatever he says is the wahy from Allah, is the satisfaction of Allah there. This is just an example I gave you to see that definitely the physical example, be ahead of Rasulullah, do something against Rasulullah, that's the result. And then we see that these people that are ahead of Rasulullah, what they're doing, killing and becoming, making shaheed and all the things, they would see the result of being ahead of Allah and Rasulullah. Inshallah, pretty soon, with Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I have to look at myself. Am I ahead of Rasulullah? Am I changing something in my life when it comes something of the Islamic regulation against my personal benefits? I would try to say, I'm not sure. Maybe I have to do this way or that way. Since he became the abd first and then he became Rasul, right? What kind of abd I am? Let me give you a very simple example. When I see that the way that Ahlul Bayt, they look at Salat, how Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he was saying his salat, how much importance they put into salat. And I look at myself. When I have time, nothing else to do, I have all my customers left, and that's the time I say my salat. I'm over all my classes, and I'm coming home, and I have nothing to do else, so I'll say my prayer. By the way, I have 5 more minutes because it's become ghaza. But when it comes to the sunnah of Rasulullah and Ahmed, we see, no, that's different. How they introduce how to be abd is different, how much importance they put into this. When it comes to azan, Rasulullah is telling to Bilal, arihna ya Bilal, release us by saying the azan, because I want to say my prayer. He's in difficulties because he's waiting for salat. Me? Sometimes I'm in difficulties because I'm saying my salat. I'm saying, oh my God, when it's going to be over, so I run away. Arihna ya Bilal, you should say the azan so I can go enjoy my relationship with Allah. Then when I say my salat, my thought is everywhere except abda. One of the friends would say, you know what, if you miss something or you lost something, say two rakah salat immediately, you'll find it. My focus is always somewhere else. If I know that, then I have to work on myself. I have to see, how was my salat? How was my amal? How long should I go this way with this path? When I want to say I need improvement here, I had a speech about this, then when I want to understand that, okay, my salat 6 months ago, yes, 6 months ago, how was my salat? And my salat is still the same. Oh my God, then where is this self-improvement? I didn't say 10 years ago. I had problem with my wife, with my husband, with my children. 10 years ago, no, 2 weeks ago, and I still have problem with them. Where's this self-improvement? We're just removing the problem and issues. No, let's stay with it, that's fine. No, this is not the sunnah of Allah. You have to find self-improvement and fix it. And the second responsibility I want to share with you today, and all the time, 23 years Rasulullah had been so tortured, a lot of difficulties, they broke his teeth and his forehead and all the things, they exiled him from his city, Mecca, in Medina, in Shia, but all these times, if the whole humanity, pay attention, it's very interesting, if the whole humanity get together, each job, we said they're all, they are, you know, Ahlul Bayt and Prophets are all employees of who? Allah. If we want to each employee and each job, there is a salary, there's ajr, reward for it, right? The whole humanity wants to get together and says, we want to pay you, Ya Rasulullah. You did a great job. You introduced Islam, the greatest path for the whole humanity. If today, not even Muslims, other religions and the whole humanity are suffering from something because they are away from the maktab and the akhlaq and the morality of Rasulullah that he introduced. Different aspects, and we are claiming. You have speeches, each major of the akhlaq of Rasulullah, how he was interacting with others, with his enemies, with his friends, with his families, how he was this, how he was walking, how he was eating, how... There's only one religion we're claiming with research and tahqeeq that is as detailed and professional as Islam. There's no other religion. Only Islam. Maktab of Rasulullah. In every single detail of their life. Okay, Rasulullah, we want to pay you back. Tell us. First of all, you can't pay it. Come on. The ajr of Risalah. You want to pay the prophethood, what he did. You can't do it because Ibrahim said as well, وَيَا قَوْمْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. But let's see what Rasulullah says. He said, actually, there is something that I want to ask you. Huh? In Surah Shura, Ayah 23, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't ask any reward from you except the love of my qurba, means my family. The same Rasul says, La yantuq an al-hawa, huh? Because of that of my family? No, there's a reason. Wow. He says, I don't want anything for all these years that I did for you what I did. The greatest job I finished. I don't ask for anything except the love of my family. Wow. The love of my family doesn't mean I just like Ahlul Bayt. You two are very good people, you know, they're the family of... No, the love of Ahlul Bayt means... following Ahlul Bayt. And I'm asking you, do you think Rasulullah, he would ask, no, maybe the whole family of Rasulullah, he would say the ajr and the reward of Risal and prophethood is to love someone who is not ma'soom? It's impossible. The ajr of Risala should be those people that are ma'soom and infallible, definitely, right? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربة. The love of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. The reason that you're sitting here. What do they call you, Shia? Ja'fari, huh? They're so honored and so proud to be called Shia Ja'fari. Because Abu Hanifa, the head of the Hanafi Maktab, says, ما رأيت أفقه من جعفر بن محمد. I have never seen anyone more knowledgeable and better and more faqih than Imam al-Sadiq. He was the student Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Many of them, the head of the school of Fadr Ahl al-Sunnah, they were the students of Imam al-Sadiq. He had 4,000 students that they were faqih. You know faqih, what that means? It's marja. 4,000, he established the university, the academic Islamic university. 4,000 faqih, that these people were one-third of his students. Rasulullah established Islam. Imam al-Sadiq developed Islam. If it was not for the sake of Imam al-Sadiq, we would have not known today what we know about Islam. We would probably be one of those people in the desert that we figure out, you know, let's believe that Rasulullah did this, or we do that. But through the chain of Ahlul Bayt, and because of Imam al-Sadiq and Ahlul Bayt, specifically Imam Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, with the knowledge that we got from them, we are blessed that we are in the best path. And we got the most authentic orders and regulations from Ahlul Bayt. Why?
Did you know that for almost 100 years after the demise of Rasulullah, starting from this first caliph, they abandoned, they said, this is forbidden, this is haram to write down the hadith of Rasulullah. For 100 years, this is haram to say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Why I'm so sleepy and I'm not paying attention to this? They were sometimes torturing the ashab by saying, قَالَ Rasulullah, Rasulullah said this. Or writing down, مَنِعْ تَدْوِينَ hadith. Definitely at that time, we need someone like Imam al-Sadiq to come and shake this ummah, wake this ummah up and say, you know what? This is the true sunnah of Rasulullah. If I want to do something against the sunnah of Rasulullah, I have to do first what? Let you forget about the true Islam. And then I can give you the second version, huh? If it's the sunnah of Rasulullah is still in the sunnah, in the ummah, you will say, you know what, this is contradicting the hadith from Rasulullah, and we have the ashab and the sahabi and the companion of Rasulullah in the ummah. But if we let them forget about these things, we can alternate it with something else, huh? So we see that is the reason that all this time, a great occasion that we have, we sit together, celebrate the birthday of Ahlul Bayt and all the things, and we are happy to be called Shia Ja'fari. I really like my audience to be critical and to be, you know, active, to ask me, say it a few times, you said Imam Sadiq, son of Rasulullah. But he was not directly son of Rasulullah. He was one of the great, great sons of Rasulullah. Why did you say he's son of Rasulullah? Is it from yourself or from Ahlul Bayt, from Rasulullah himself? No, matter of fact, Rasulullah himself called them my son. We see that at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, when he was born, right there, Rasulullah look at Imam Hassan and all those people that were there, says, Hati Ibni, give me my son. You could say, give me my grandson, huh? And Anas ibn Malik, he was in masjid, one of the companions. Imam Hassan was there. And Rasulullah was there as well. Imam Hassan was a little one. He was playing with Rasulullah. He thought, Anas ibn Malik, he thought he's bothering Rasulullah. He wanted to keep, you know, Imam Hassan away from Rasulullah. Rasulullah said to him, Anas, da' ibni, leave my son alone. Why he said, leave my son alone? Why all the time he's trying to say, this is the first, you know, the first proof. The second proof, Ayah Mubahila, you all heard about this. The third surah of Quran, Ayah 61. فَمَنْ حَجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنْ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَتْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنْفُسَنَا. At the time of Mubahila, Rasul says, we'll bring our sons. You bring your sons. I'll bring our woman. You bring your woman. I'll bring ourselves. Who were the sons? Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Who was the Nisa? Who was the woman that Rasulullah brought with himself? Sayyidah Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was the nafs of Rasulullah? No, Rasulullah talked about himself. Really? If I want to come, he says, I bring myself, you bring yourself? It's very funny. You don't talk this way. Because you're already there. He says, no, this person that I'm bringing with myself, he's my nafs. You're the same. Huh? And when the nafs of Rasulullah is in the ummah, there is no turn for anyone else to be the after the Rasulullah, the successor of Rasulullah, except the nafs of Rasulullah who is in ummah. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam. Why is it so important? Because the enemies are trying to remove, specifically Bani Abbas, Bani Ubay, they're trying to say, no, you're not the son of Rasulullah. You're the grandson of Rasulullah. Why? Because if I say you're the son of Ali, that's easier to kill you and to torture you. But if I say you're the son of Rasulullah, I can, because I have to respect you more. The third proof, Harun. Look at Imam Qasim alayhi salam. He said, what is the reason that you call yourself the son of Rasulullah? You're not the son of Rasulullah. Rasulullah didn't have any son. He just has a daughter. And the daughter, your inheritance, your progeny goes through your family names goes through your son. He didn't have a son. He has a daughter. How do you call yourself the son of Rasulullah? No, you're the son of the daughter of Rasulullah. Imam Qasim said, I want to answer you from Quran. Surah An'am, ayah 84. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَنُوحًا حَدَيْنَاهُ حَدَيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ دَاوُودُ وَسُلَيْمَانُ وَأَيُّوبُ It says, and we guided Nuh and among his progeny, the progeny of Nuh, who are they? Dawood, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun, wa kadhalika najzil muhsinin, wa Zakariya, wa Yahya, wa Isa, wa Ilyas. Kullu min as-salihin.
The progeny of Nuh, all these prophets, wa Isa. Imam Kazim said, Isa is son of Nuh?
He said, yes. He says, Isa didn't have a father. He had a mom. But Quran is calling Isa son of Nuh because he's related through his mom. We're related to Rasulullah the same with our mom, Sayyidina Zahra Salamullah alayha. We see their sons of Rasulullah. In the books of Ahlul Sunnah, in Sahih Bukhari, we have the hadith. أَمَّ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ Different version. مِنْ بَعْدِ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ خَلِيفَ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ قَيِّمْ There are 12 khalifa, there are 12 imams after myself. We have this hadith in the books of Ahlul Sunnah. I want them to go look at this. They tried and they killed themselves to justify it. Who are these 12? Just let's start from the beginning. There's called Abu Hatim is one of the scholars that he wrote a description and Shah to Tirmidhi. He says, you know what, I counted this from the beginning of Khalifa. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got to Yazid. Yazid, he's the most corrupted one. He was drinking. He was saying that there is no Rasul. Everything is lying. Everything is lie. There's no heaven. There's no hell. How can I call him the Khalifa of Rasulullah? No, I cannot go through that 12 one from the beginning. Then he said, I don't understand this hadith. La afham hadha hadith. You want to understand this hadith? Go to the Maktab of Ahlul Bayt, 12 one that Rasulullah introduced. And we have by the name that he introduced them. Someone who is asleep, you can wake them up, right? You can wake someone asleep, wake them up. No, wake up. Someone is pretending that he's asleep. You can wake them up. Huh? You can wake them up. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. That would happen generation after generation when you change the path of Allah and path of Rasulullah themselves. For some dunyavi reasons, you see that you establish a path that's up until today and to the end of the world, until the zuhur of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. You see that Islam is still paying by changing the path of Rasulullah. Let's not change the path of Yeah, they critically change the path of Rasulullah. But sometimes I do it as well. When it comes to my, like he said, you know, some of the amal. Am I doing it? Or I'm doing sometimes against Islam? You have to pay your homes. Come on, I'm paying my tax. Who said it? I didn't say it. Rasulullah said it. I have to do this. Who said I have to know this ulama? They created themselves. Okay, so you don't pay it, inshallah. At the day of judgment, we'll see. You know, if they created or Rasulullah, he said that. It's a little bit, you know, we have to pay attention to these things. And the last section I want to say, the third responsibility, it's a little bit scary. I'm sorry that I want to say it, but this is from Rasulullah. Because this is scary, if you recite salawat, you'll feel, inshallah, safer to understand it. Our third responsibility is not to bother Rasulullah. It's very obvious, right? Not to bother Rasulullah. Before I go and tell the scary part, those people that bothered sons of Rasulullah, we proved they are sons of Rasulullah, right? Those people that they bothered sons of Rasulullah, did they bother Rasulullah or not? You tell me. Did they? Huh? Say it out loud. Those people that they killed Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and all the sons of Rasulullah, did they bother Rasulullah or not? Those people that they killed Imam al-Sadiq, did they bother Rasulullah or not? Who bothered Rasulullah bothers Allah. And who bothers Allah? Mal'oonun fi dunya wal akhirah. No, they didn't attack. No, they didn't. Okay. Then I understand the position of sons of Rasulullah. And the second, the hadith, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is the scary one. مَنْ أَعْذَى مُؤْمِنًا فَقَدْ أَعْذَانِ Whoever bothers a mu'min bothers me. وَمَنْ أَعْذَانِ فَقَدْ أَعْذَى اللَّهِ Whoever bothers me bothers Allah. وَمَنْ عَاذَ اللَّهُ وَفَى بَذَرْزَ اللَّهُ مَلْعُونٌ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالزَّبُورِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. Whoever bothers Allah, he's cursed and mal'oon in four books, holy books, Torah, Injil Bible, Old Testament Bible, Zabur and Quran. I want to look at myself. Have I ever bothered someone? Have I ever said something that I bothered someone? My brothers and sisters in center somewhere else? Have I said something that I, you know, bothers my sisters? Backbite someone, talk bad about someone? Have I ever bothered them? Ya Allah, I don't want to make it so scary, but this is, you know, man ava mu'minin. That's a little bit. Have I ever bothered my wife? My husband? They said something that they upset them? Bothered them? Ya Allah. I would say dua and you say amen. Loud amen. Ya Allah. If we did any of the things, we didn't have the intention to do that. For the sake of Rasulullah and Imam al-Sadiq, tonight please forgive all our sins in this regard. I finish with this story. They came to Rasulullah and says, there is a woman. This is the hadith says there is a woman. There's a woman in Medina, she's a great woman, amazing. She prays and fasts all day and this and that, Quran, Salat. There's only one problem with her. تُؤْذِي بِلِسَانِهَا جِيرَانَهَا. She bothers with her tongue, her neighbors, her friends. That's the only thing. Praying all night, you know, fasting, all day fasting, all night praying. Just bothers sometimes. Someone's, you know, friends with tongues. Rasulullah said, لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا. هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. There's no khair in this person. She is one of the people of hell. What? Doesn't mean I said, sisters, you go home, sister, did you hear what Sayyid said? Huh? Because when we talk about, you know, couples, sometimes, when we talk about brothers, sisters goes home and says, you know, did you hear what he said? When it comes to talk about the sisters, brothers go, did you hear what he said? No, it's about both. The hadith says sisters, but it doesn't matter. Men and women, that's the same. La khayra fiha, because of what? Because of bother. Have I ever posted something on Facebook and social medias? I said something that I bothered someone. I said something that I destroyed some relationships or something. Wow. Man aldani. On Monday, the hadith church says on Monday and Thursday, they take out with transcripts and they give it to Rasulullah. And he is reviewing. I don't want to have any amal in my transcript that I would bother Rasulullah by looking at it. Huh? You are Muslim? You claim you're Muslim? What about this? At least I might bother him, huh? Ya Allah, what we can say that, his brothers and sisters are here. They took the first step to say, we are in love with Rasulullah. And we have the intention to make you, Allah, and Rasulullah, and Ahlul Bayt happy. And you said yourself, if we make a mistake, we have to repent to you, huh? And I know that if you didn't love me, you wouldn't let me be here tonight in the majlis of Rasulullah and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. You love me. That's why you wanted me to hear these things. Otherwise, you wouldn't say, go somewhere else, do something else. Many people, they are not here. I took the first step. You take the other steps, Ya Allah. And I prove and I promise that from tonight when I go out, I promise you that I go over my problems one by one, find something to solve it. I know my problem and my, you know, difficulties, my deficiencies. I know what kind of problems I have. My eyes, my tongues. I do haram with this or that, na'uzubillah, sometimes. I promise, one by one, don't get overwhelmed. Because I talk about this, many brothers and sisters, how should I do? You're talking this exactly about me. And I have all these problems. Where should I start from? Don't get overwhelmed. Start one by one. Prioritize it. What is the most important thing that you have to focus on? And focus on that. For a few days and weeks and months, focus on that. I'm jealous. If I'm jealous, I have to focus on that if it's the most important thing in my list. No, actually write it down. As an abd, I have to work on myself. How about when I'm the employee of this company, I'm so into promotion and up-to-dating myself. Huh? When I'm so into this in dunya aspect and dunyavi aspect, when I'm not like this in the ukhravi aspect. When it comes to my job, I have this much books and papers to make sure I'm not missing any facts and any records. When it comes to my ibadah, I don't have any record.
Let's write it down, my problems, and then focus on that one by one. Number one, I'm bothering some people. Number two, I don't have a good relationship with my husband, with my wife, my children, other things. Number three, number four, and I stay one by one. Get advice from the ulama, get advice from the experts. How can I do it? How can I fix it? Sometimes we think, you know, we are in pain. But then, you know, it's pain. You know, sometimes we have a pain. Imagine your hand is in pain. When it's known sometimes and you feel, you know, you're used to it. It says, go to the doctor. No, I'm fine. Chronic pain, I'm fine. No, I have to go and check it and fix it.
If you see any of the things, inshallah, we'll focus on that because we want the self-improvement because that is the sunnah of Rasulullah and that's what he respects from us with the help of Allah, inshallah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa'ajjal farajahum. Allahumma ajjal li waliyyika al-faraj. Loud amin together, inshallah. These days and nights are happy occasions, right? The viladat of Rasulullah. You know, children, when they want to go to their fathers and mothers, ask for something, they look for happy occasions. Now, my dad is happy, I can go ask for money. This is a happy occasion. Ahlul Bayt are happy. Although all the time they give, all the time they have promotion, but these times are special. The people of heaven and earth, all mu'mineen are happy. Let's focus on our amal and our dua, inshallah. Keep your dua and amal in your hands and in your head, inshallah. On top of your hajjad, inshallah, the dhuhr of our beloved Imam, Imam of As. Loud amin, inshallah. Allahumma ajjil li waliyyika al-faraj wal afiyata wal nasr wa mudda fi umrih al-sharif wa zayyan al-arda batul baqa'ih wa ja'alna min awanihi wa ansarihi wa shi'atih. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, give us tawfiq and opportunity to be among true followers of Imam Mahdi. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, give us tawfiq to learn more about the ma'arif of yourself and Ahlul Bayt. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help our youth make them successful in dunya wal akhirah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, anyone in this world oppressing others, bihaq al-Rasul, please give them their share of themselves to themselves. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, anyone that is trying to destroy Islam, please destroy them. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, anyone being oppressed in this world, provide the opportunities for their freedom. All those friends who are sick, please cure them. And those who passed away, send the reward and thawab out of this masjid and this majlis, inshallah, to the soul. Rahmallahu man yaqra'u al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.